The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field, which a person finds and hides again, and out of joy goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. When he finds a pearl of great price, he goes and sells all that he has and buys it." The Gospel of the Lord. So the kingdom of God is like an avocado. That might sound a little strange, but I had a friend from Alaska, and he was down in when we were in college, and for the first time he saw an avocado, and I cut it open, and I was getting to make some guacamole out of it. And as I cut it open, he's like, "What is that?" I said, "It's an avocado." He's like, "I've never seen one of those things." And I'm like, "You will like this. This is really good." And so I cut it open, and when I opened it up, it was all green. And he looked at it and said, "Oh, no way, I'm not going to do that. That's all green. There's no, that can't be good." And I'm like, "Just try it." It's like, well, he never did try it. But the kingdom of God is kind of like an avocado for a couple reasons. So the first one is, how would you describe an avocado to someone who's never had it before? It's kind of hard, right? It's not really like much anything else. And it was like the closest I could come is like maybe some kind of weird oily thing, but it's hard to describe. But let's just say for the sake of argument, you really like guacamole, then it is something that once you have it, it's hard not to have it when it's there. And Jesus is using parables and he's using these images. So here he's having an image of a treasure, and there's a treasure hunter that once he finds this treasure, it's buried in the ground, and that was common in those days because where there's a lot of warfare, there weren't banks around or anything like that. They would bury their valuables in the ground, and then sometimes after the war, they would lose track of where they were, and so then later there would be these treasure finders that would find them, not like the Spanish treasures, but it would just be valuables that were buried in the ground. And so in this case, the person buys the land so he can have the treasure. Now, the pearl of great price, we don't think of pearls as being quite as valuable as they did in the ancient world. There was a story by Pliny the Elder, and he was talking about Mark Antony and Cleopatra, and they had a bet between them. And in this bet, they were trying to see who could provide the most costly banquet. And so when it was Cleopatra's turn, she took one of these pearls that she had on her earring and dissolved it in vinegar or wine. We don't know which one. But anyway, afterwards, then she drank it. And that pearl was worth, in today's terms, around $30 million. So pearls were extremely valuable back then, and nowadays maybe less so, and so we kind of miss the connection. But you notice that once this person finds the pearl of great price, he doesn't get it so that he can later sell it. It's just in possession of it that is where the value lies. And these are all images of the kingdom. They're supposed to help us to understand, first of all, how great what God offers us in his kingdom is. I think one of the problems we have in today's world is people don't fully grasp how great the kingdom of God is, how great Jesus is, how great his gospel is, how great this life in Christ and the freedom and the life of the Holy Spirit is. And so because they don't understand that, they're kind of like my friend who looked at the avocado and said, no, he thought he had it figured out, but he really didn't know what it was all about. And so that's one of the problems, especially among the young, that they don't fully understand what the kingdom is all about. And so they reject it outright without ever having an experience of how truly great it is. And one of the things that I try to do when it comes to baptisms, for example, is when a new couple comes in and they have a baby that they want to baptize, I say, okay, well, you got to go to Mass for a couple months. And anyway, the idea here is I don't want them just to come in and get the baptism and leave because they haven't had an experience of what it is to live an active Catholic lifestyle. And so my hope is that maybe after a couple months they might have a good experience and they might see that, hey, our life is going a whole lot better now, and we've got a lot more peace, and we've got some meaning and purpose, and we actually know something about God, and we know God. And I mean, this is kind of what you want. When I explain it to him, I don't just kind of say, well, here are the hoops you have to jump through. It's just an idea that I want them to understand that, first of all, being baptized is coming into the kingdom, and so we want you to have an experience of that. And also, I want to get to know them a bit. And so all this is kind of built into that. It's a hard thing, though, because as many of you know, you can't force the gospel on anyone. It's one of those things that people have to experience on their own. So I do think consciously and carefully that I'm not imposing my biases over the gospel on someone else. For example, if you're going to be a Catholic, then you have to be my kind of Catholic. But everyone's got a different personality, and they have different experiences, and they need to come and grow in their faith in the way that God is leading them. So the ideal is to remove my biases and prejudices and my preferences and allow the true, authentic gospel to take root so that they might be able to come to understand it on their own terms, with their own experiences in life and according to their own personality. And this is something that God has done for all of us. We just don't recognize it because it's something that's happened so long over so many ways that we can become a little comfortable with it. And if we're not careful, we can become so comfortable with it that we start substituting other things for the authentic gospel. And we have to continually be humble and prayerful and allow Jesus to reveal his greatness to us so that it doesn't become the day-to-day and the ordinary. And so as we listen to these parables of the kingdom in Matthew 13, it's a good reminder for us to appreciate the many blessings the Lord has brought us and to make sure that we don't become complacent in that. Also, that we help others to come to discover what we so lovingly have discovered.